Okay, Rabbi, so today's daf is daf Samach Vav. We're going to start from the top of the Amid where the Gemara asked for Maika Mefligi. And you remember we had yesterday two brises. Both of those brises focused on the same issue. And that is when we're talking about Chagovim, grasshoppers, there's a minimum of four different simonim that we already had in the Mishnah. What were the four simonim? Number one, you have to have four raglayim. Number two, you have to have four kinafayim. Number three, you have to have two karsulayim. Karsulayim means the long feet with which the grasshoppers jump and skip around. And finally, you have to have knofav choifin es rubai. What exactly means rubai? We had a machloikis yesterday, and then Rapapa said, hilkach, roiv orkoi, and roiv hekefai. So those are the minimum four simonim that all chagovim have to have. Back on Samach Hei Omid Aleph, the Gemara brought a very short brisa, where the brisa said, let's look at the pasuk, Es Eile Mehem Toi Chelu, and the Gemara brought the four enumerated chagovim that you find in the Torah, which are Mutter Le'echol. You had Arba Leminei, Salam Leminei, Charga Leminei, Chagav Leminei, and the brisa said, each one of those minoy mineu comes to be marbe something. So one comes to be marbe the tzipor sakramim, and the other one the yachni yerushalmis, and the other one the irtuvia, and the other one the harzavnis. So that brisa was very, very brief and succinct, and said from the mineu we learn one or two more, and basically that's the whole the mineus. Tvei Rabbi Shmuel, as you recall, had a langa umid beis where they went and make several different distinctions between those four that are enumerated in the Torah. The Arbe, the Solam, Chargol, and Chogav. What differences were there? So the Gemara said, when we're talking about the Arbe, that happens to be special, because in addition to the four Simonim that we just enumerated, you have another Simon. What is that? It's above the Ein Loi Gabachas. Gabachas means it doesn't have a bald spot, because in fact it does have some hairs growing out of its head. Masha Enkin, if you're talking about the Solom, Yeshloi Gabachas, which means it doesn't have any hair at all. It doesn't have any problem with the 3 weeks, 9 days. It has no hairs. You don't have to worry about the Gantzamasa. Both of those have a common denominator that Ein Lehem Zonav. They don't have any protruding tail coming out. Masha Enkin, there's a third one, Chargoyl. Chargol does have a zonav, and also happens to be also yesh loy gabachas. So the Gemara learned from all of those three to come to be marbe any type of chogav that ain loy gabachas, yesh loy gabachas, ain loy zonav, yesh loy zonav. And then the Gemara said, but what about another distinction? And that is all three of those ain roishoy oruch. They have a relatively small head. Masha Enkin, what about all of those chagovim that roishan oruch, where they have a long head? How do I know the halacha legabe that? So we had a whole discussion back and forth, and the Gemara brought all the way in the bottom, Elo Omra Vachoy. That was about six lines from the bottom. It says in the pasuk, Solom Yeseiruhu. The Solom, which is number two on the list, right? We have the Arba, the Solom, the Chargoyl, and the Chagav. Says Yomar, Solom was really unnecessary for the Rabbeinu Shlomim to enumerate separately. Why? Because I can learn it from Hamahatzad, from Arbe and Chargoyl. How can I learn from Arbe and Chargoyl? The Mai Parchas, you're going to go and say, Solom is different. I'm just reading from the last four lines of the Omid Beis of yesterday. The Mai Parchas, what are you going to ask? Mali Arbe, de Ein Loi Gabachas. How could I possibly in the world learn Solom from Arbe? After all, Arbe has no Gabachas. Again, Gabachas means it does not have a bald spot. Masha Enkein, when you're talking about the Solom, yesh le Gabachas. So maybe I can't learn one from the other. Oh, Zutimor Bahari Chargol, yesh le Gabachas. Fine, don't go and learn Solom from Arbe. Learn Solom from Chargol, because both of them, yesh le Gabachas. But I can't learn from Chargol, because my Chargol yesh lo zonav. Masha ain kain, the poor Solom has no zonav. Yo, that's not a problem, because I can learn it from the Arba, the ain lo zonav. Yeah, but I can't learn it from the Arba, because the Arba Ein legabachas, but I can learn from the chargol. Yesh legabach, but I can learn from the chargol because the chargol yesh leizonav and the solom ein leizonav. So like every single time you have a binyanav, lo yirizeh, kirizeh. Solom is not exactly like an arba, but it has like a chargol. But it's not exactly like a chargol, but it's like an arba. So matzad shavu shebehen that what the solom the kosher rachmona lamali. In other words, I could learn solom from a combination of a binyanav of the Arba and the Chargoyle together. What do I need Solom for? So, because Rachman Lomli, I mean, in the Gufa, Fajich Alain, I don't need a Basik. Today, in the Roshi Orach, it comes to include Roshi Orach. Even though all three of these, the Arba, the Solom, and the Chargoyle, each one of them ain Roshi Orach, but the last Rashi says at the very bottom, that's a Midah Batoira, Dovisha ain in the Gufa. I don't need Solom for Zichalayim. I knew that without the Pasuk. Today, in Yiladavaracha, rather, comes to tell you a Zaitika separate halacha that we didn't have until now, and that is, it doesn't have to be Davke Ein Roshi Oruch, but even Roshi Oruch could also be included in the kosher Chagol. So that's basically a quick, succinct chazorah of the two brises. Now the one wants to know about my kemiflegi. What's the machloek between Tana Dvei Rav, that was the first brisa, with Tana Dvei Rav Yishmael? The first brisa didn't say it's called Tana Dvei Rav, it just said Tana Rabbanan. The second brisa said Dvei Rav Yishmael. So Rashi explains that Tana Dvei Rav doesn't necessarily mean that we're talking about Rav, it could be talking about the brisa that was taught in the Bismedrish. Another pshat Rashi says is that we know that the Medrish Halacha on Vayikra is called Sifra, and the real name or the full name is Sifra de Beirav. Rav was the one that collected all of these halachas. Sifra de Beirav. Aha. So therefore the Sifra de Tana de Rav means that this is a part of the Teiris Kahana and part of the Sifra on Sefer Vayikra. So Frank Dimar, what's an afkimina between the first Brisa and the second Brisa? Peroshe Aruch Kemiflegi, the Machloikis, and an afkimina will be where the Chogov has Roshoi Aruch. We just saw now on the bottom that the second Brisa comes to be Marba, even a case of Roshoi Aruch, but it's only the second Brisa that holds that way and not the first Brisa. Why not? So the Gemara now repeats again very, very quickly. Tana Dvei Rav, Sovar, that's the first Brisa hold, that I only have a Klal Uprat, I don't have a Klal Uprat Uklal. What is my Klal Uprat? The first Pasuk says, Asher Loikra'ayim, what's the whole pusik over here? It says in the pusik, Achazet toichlu mikol sheretz oif ha'hoylech al arba, asher loy kroayim imal l'ragov l'natavein al arts. So the lashon of the oif hoylech al arba asher loy kroayim, darshanimor, that's a klal. Any chogov that has these long gafis, that karsulayim with which you can jump, this is kusha. So that's a klal. It's a very wide klal, because all chagovim that are kosher all have these karsulayim that it can jump with. But after that, the pasuk is very, very, very specific. The arba, the solom, the chargoyle, and the chogov, which are all prats. I only have a klal uprat, I don't have anything more. And this Tana holds that the words lemino, lemineu, lemineu, these are all part of the prats, because we're trying to go and identify the arba and its mishpucha, and the solom and its mishpucha. So they're all very much prats. So getting back to the Gemara, Asher lekra'ayim is klal. Arba, solom, chargol, and chogov, lemineu. Even lemineu is part of the prat. Klal uprat, imachal mashe prat, deminei. In the lav deminei, not loy, it's got to be these specifically, and those that are in its mishpuchais, part of the min of each one of these four. And therefore, what are the minimum criteria to decide whether a chagav is kosher or not? It has to be similar in two respects. What are the two respects? Number one, that it has all the four simanim that we've been speaking about. The 4 feet and the 4 kanafayim and the 2 karsalayim and the kanaf of choifen es rubai. And the second thing is, all of these four have the same din, that not the same din, the same quality, that ain Roshon Oruch. Ein Roshon Oruch. And so therefore, those are the halachas vis-a-vis Chagov. So the first braisa holds because of this very narrow klal uprat that we're not going to include Rosh Aruch, because none of these four in the pasuk are Rosh Aruch. We learned it from Solom. It was all because Dover She'ene in the Gufoy, Fene in the Dover Acher. But none of these have that special simon of Rosh Aruch. So Taka Rosh Aruch, no good. Not a kosher chagav. Don't even think about eating such a chagav. Well, Tana Rabbi Shmuel, that's the second braisa sovar. Asher l'kriayim klal. Start off the same way. Arbach Solom, Chargol, Chagav, Prat. Leminayu chazav v'kolal. Those four lemineus, leminoi, and three lemineus, they come to be marbe aklal uprat uklal el yat don elik enaprat umarbi kol de domile v'chad sad. And when marbe, you don't even need all of the four simanim. One sad is enough, and the Gemara holds at this point one sad is enough that you don't need that it has to be davka einoi roishen aruch. But even Rosh Aruch is also good. Zokti Gemara, therefore that's the machloikis between, that's the mamai kamiflik between the first brice and the second brice. And the first brice says, no, it's got to be klalu prat, just like these four guys, which are all ein Rosh Aruch. Second brice learned klalu prat, klal to be marbe even Rosh Aruch. Very nice. Freitim ovelei domi klala kala, domi klala basra. I don't understand the second brice that says klal uprat to klal. How are these two klolim similar? The ein lo kraayim is opens up the floodgates vis-a-vis chagovim, because all chagovim are the type that ein lo kraayim, that they have these karsulayim that with which they can jump and skip around. That's the minimum of a grasshopper. If you think of a grasshopper, what's a grasshopper? Try to describe a grasshopper. It keeps on jumping and goes, if it's a foot, it jumps and jumps and jumps. So that's the ikra of the grasshopper. That's the klola kama. The klola basra is so much more narrow. Liminoi, limineu. Just this particular chogam and its min. So how can you go and make a klalu prat a klal? And that's in fact why the first brisa rejects that and says I only have a klalu prat. I don't have a klalu prat to klal. The klola kama asher lo yikra'ayim amrachmona di isle achol de lesle lo yteichol. Make sure it has karsulayim. The klal basra the shov barbo aminim simonim. It's got to be so narrow. It's got to be like those four that we reckon those, and all four of them have the same four simonim of the karsalayim, etc. And for the gemara, Tanur Rabbi Shmuel b'kol yopratik ha'gav nedoyim. Tanur Rabbi Shmuel is so called liberal when it comes to these type of klal uprata klal, and he holds it doesn't have to be a mirror image, a groisa klal mit a groisa klal. A grace a klal, a kleine klal is auch good. You know, you don't have to be as oi pinklich and as oi yekish. There's some mitzvahs on as oi pinklich. Grace a klal, kleine klal, alts is good. Ah, you're the brina nami ba'alma, the doin, tani ber bishma, beklal yaprati ki hai gab. Now you find in other gemaras where the gemara says that tani ber bishma learns two klalim and a klal uprati klal when they're not the same. Mehachat, here is the makar. Anytime you learn a gemara, mesechtas gittin, or mesechtas ksubas, or nida, or whatever. Tanur Vishwan, where did I learn that from? That the two klolim don't have to be the same? Go back to Chulin Daf Samach Vav, that's the granddaddy where Tanur Vishwan says the two klolim do not have to be the same. Buri chatu adi noy eliheini melech hu oilam shehakoyl nihia vidurai. Good. So with this we have quickly, thank you. We have quickly gone through the two braises, and now the Gemara picks and chooses a couple of he'orois on the second brisa. That's the long brisa that we had here on the Amid Beis. Omamad, in the brisa it said, Ish moy chogav yochol ein boy kol asimonim halolo. Where is that quote from? If you go back to the Amid Beis, just past halfway down the Amud, where the Gemara says, now that I have the chogav, right? The Gemara first asks, oh, but the tzirtzur has all those four simonim, and nevertheless, it's an oif tamei. So Gemara, Yochli Hey Mutter, maybe you're allowed to eat the Tzir Tzur, even though everybody knew that was a Chagav Tomei. Tamaloyim a Chagav, Shishmoy Chagav. That's number four on the list. To tell you, it has to have the name Chagav. If you go into the Chagavim store, and you're going to ask them for a Tzir Tzur, they're going to say, sir, you're in the wrong, you're at the wrong address. Where do you get a Tzir Tzur? Down the block, across the street. They didn't get Tzir. Can I buy an Arba? Sure, come on in. I want to buy a Solom. Avada. I want to go and buy a Chargol. Sure, we got tons of Chargols. So the Gemara said, if this is so important that it has the name Chagav, Ishmay Chagav Yochel Ein Bei Kol Simanim Alol, maybe I can scrap all of those four Simanim that we were talking about in detail. Maybe it only has to have the name Chagav. That's what it said in the Braisa. Tamaloyimar Liminayu Achiyu Goy Kol Simanim Halolu. Ein Bei Kol Simanim Halolu. But if it doesn't have that, says the Gemara, Ein Achanami, according to the Havamin, when it says the word Chagav, you don't need all those other four simanim. But for Eiti Mora, I don't need, Lamaisa the Gemara, of course, said no, Sinishta Zai, because I learned the Minayu, it has to have all the simanim. But for Eiti Mora, what was the Havamina? Aim by Kala Simanim Halalu, Mehecha Taisi. How could you even dawn on you that type of Svara? Arbe v'chargol ksiv. We just went through in great detail that I learned from Arbe and Chargoyl together that you have to have the four simonim, and it doesn't matter whether yesh le gabachas, ein le gabachas. It doesn't matter yesh le zonav, ein le zonav, but you have to have those four simonim. So just because it says Chagav, okay, let's forget about everything that we've just learned now for the last half hour. We learned today, we learned yesterday. How can you say holy the bahas? You have the Arbe and the Chargoyl. Says the Gemara, "E loiksiv solom kidika amris." If it would only say Arb and Chargol, you're 100% right. There's no havamina that I don't need the four simanim. Avada, I need the four simanim. However, after that, I say that from the Arb and the Chargol together, I learn the solom. Zokti Gemara, "Hashidachsiv solom lirabuye roishi oruch." Like we said at the bottom of the Omud, that Solom comes to include not only these four simanim, but even Roshay Aruch, Eima Lirbi Nami Kolduhu. Once we're opening up the floodgates by saying Solom is not similar to the other two, doesn't have the Gabe, the Solom, Yeshla Gabachas, different than Arbe. It's not like Chargol, because there, Yeshla Zonim, and this is Eim Lezonim. But it's okay. I'm going to learn Mitamat Sad. To include, Avadit has the four simanim. Right,
so what's the Havamina that if it doesn't have four simanim,
yeah, but
even if it has something extra, I understand.
But does Solom have Roshi Aruch? No, it's Ein Roshi Aruch. But because of the fact that it says Solom, you know what? Forget about. We're going to throw in Roshi Aruch as well. But none of the others are Roshi Aruch. Nishka Arben, Nishka Solomon, Nishka Nippel, and Nishka.
It doesn't take away from the four simanim.
That's how the Gemara is understanding it now, by putting it like a kol yeser kenotel dummy. We're going, and once we're saying that Solom opens up and says, lav dafka, that we thought until now it has to be mamish like the other three, like the Arbe, the Solom, and the Chargol, as a result, or the other two, I should say, doesn't have to be mamish like the Arbe and the Chargol, because Arbe and Chargol, both of them, as well as the Solom itself, ain roishi aruch, but I'm now opening up for exceptions to the rule. Nes mizrish zanroi. Even Rosh Aruch is gochkut. Where does it say that in the Torah? Based on these limudim. Oh, once you're opening up the gates and saying, throw in new exceptions, so maybe you can open up the gates and say, really you don't even need all four. Maybe one simon is enough. Maybe just ain Rosh Aruch, or just Rosh Aruch. In other words, once we're throwing in this solemn to say that all of what we've learned until now, including the four simanim, and including Ein Roshi Aruch, because all of the others Ein Roshi Aruch. Even the Solom itself Ein Roshi Aruch. But I'm throwing in, I'm making exceptions and saying even Roshi Aruch, Ein Malibi Nami Koldu. So maybe even I make other exceptions. You don't have to have all four simanim. Maybe only three simanim is enough. Maybe only one simon is enough. Kamash Malon, that's why we have to have the Brisa Lemineu, Achei Boy Kol HaSimanim Halolu, don't even have such types of Havamina. Havadi, you have to have all simanim as a minimum. Frank Timura, I have another question. Maishno Hosan the Amr Solom ze Rishoin, Chargol ze Nippel, or Maishno Hocha the Amr Solom ze Nippel, Chargol ze Rishoin? That's a very simple question. Remember back in the first Braisa that we had on Samacheum at Aleph, four lines from the bottom, we said Arbe ze Goyhoi, Solom ze Rishoin. In other words, Rashi said these are the Aramaic terms. The Hebrew terms are Lushan Kodesh, the Arba, Mithe Solom, Mithe Chargol. However, by Unz, in Bavel, you know how we call it? Arba we call Goyvoy, Solom we call Rishon, Chargol we call Nipal. Okay, so again, Solom is Rishon, Chargal is Nipon. In the second braisa that we had of the Tanur Bishmael, we had the Gemara, Shtei Tuchdu back on the Umid Beis. We had the Solom et Chargal. Yeah, if you look about seven lines in, we said, okay, let's go first two lines in. Tamaloyim is Solom. Now in the third line is Zen Nipon. Oh, 1 second, on the Omer Aleph we said Solom Zerishosh. Oyoyoy, what happened? Nipol fell out. What happened? But then if you go to the next few lines, then the Gemara says Tamaloyim on the fifth line, sixth line, Chargol Zerishosh. But back in the Omer Aleph we said Chargol Zenipol. So that was a switch. The Solom Zerishosh and Chargol Zenipol, and on the Omer Beis, Solom Zenipol and Chargol Zerishosh. What's going on over here? What was the name? We're not talking about halach over here. We're talking about the name in Babylonian Aramaic. Ma'ishnahos in the Amr Solom Zerishon, Chargol Zenipol. Ma'ishnahos in the Amr Solom Zenipol, Chargol Zerishon. Every mar marki asrei umarki asrei. In wherever the first Tana lived when he was teaching the halacha, by M the Solom was called Rishon and the Chargol was called Nipol. The second Tana where he lived, they made a switcheroon. And they said that Solom ze Nipol and Chargol ze Rishon. Now it doesn't mean that these are all interchangeable terms, and therefore Nipol and Rishon are all the same. It's just a different name here, different name there. No. It has to have those simonim. In the first Braisa, in his Ki Asrei, Solom was called Rishon. That Rishon had to be just like Solom. What was the Solom? That Yesh loy gabachas, be'ein loy zonov. Masha Enkein, the Chargol was a Nipol. It was both Yesh legabachas, the Yesh loizonov. In the second Braisa, however, it's the other way around. The Solom was the Nipol, so that Nipol is referring to something that Yesh legabachas, the Ein loizonov. Chargol was a Rishon, which means that it had both Zonov and Gabachas. Oh, so it's not interchangeable. If you happen to be in the first place and you're going to go and ask for a Rishon, make sure. You know what you're going to go and get? You're going to get Doime L'Solom, which is that Yesh L'Gabachas B'Ein L'Izanov. But if you go to the second place, and you're going to go and ask for that same Rishon, since it's the Chargol, which is called the Rishon, then you're going to go and get Yesh L'Gabachas V'Yesh L'Izanov. So in case you happen to have preferences vegan the Izanov and vegan the Gabachas, be careful where you happen to be. So Mark Yasrei. Different places, they gave it different names. Okay, very simple. Baiter. Ubedogim, out is good. Okay, so now we leave the jumping grasshoppers and we jump straight into the ocean, into dogim, that koshi snapper of kaskasis. If you want to eat a kosher fish, make sure it has fins and scales, or at least one fin and scales. Tanuban. Aimly ach should be also the godly achar zman. What about if you find in the river, you go and catch a fish? And at the moment, it doesn't have those simonim yet. But you recognize that this fish, lemushel, is a white fish or a salmon. And you realize this happens to be a baby salmon. Today, baby salmon is very expensive. So you're very familiar. You're a fisherman for many, many years. And you eat fish for many years. And you know very well, just leave it in the water for another 3 months. Setom fins mit scales unashir. But the val hotzes nicht. Kigoin hasultonis va apios. Harry's a mutter. Now, mitalach. No problem, even though it doesn't have it yet. But this is a min that has snapikaskasis. Now you look at it, wow, snapikaskasis. You make a picture, you put it against the wall. This is the paradigm, this is the role model of ala kosher fish. However, when it comes out of the water, you chop it and you take it out. Kigoyin akunis, mitafunis, mikaspesudis, and the achaspulis, all these ones, the atunis, all of these, even though now when I caught them, I don't have to scrape, I don't have to remove all of the scales, they fell off from jicha line. Arzer mitzah, och mitzah. So the Braisa therefore says, the ikr is that min is a min that has it in both of these malis navikas. Even though at the particular moment, yet otzis dish, amulet is god, shvetus, it's all good, alz is fine, alz is good. Why does he want to have to tell us? I would have thought it's kind of fishy to go and say it doesn't have it and we'll have it later. No, it makes no difference as long as you know it's the Yana Min. It's Al's Kitten Fight. Zutimur Tananusam. We have a Mishnah. Koshi Yeshle Kaskesis, Yeshle Snapir. By definition, if it has scales, you know for sure it has fins. You don't even have to think about it. 100%. V'yesh, sheyesh leisnabe, but there are many fish that have fins. They lekaskeset, they don't have scales. Yesh lekaskeset, v'yesh leisnabe. If it has both, the snapper and the kaskeset, dug tour, kosher v'yusha. Yesh leisnabe, v'yesh lekaskeset. It only has the snapper, the fins, but it doesn't have the scales. Ay, 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 dag, tomei. Now, what do we see from what this Mishnah just taught us? We see very clearly that it's the kaskeses, which is the ikker, the snapper doesn't matter. In fact, we just got finished saying that if it has yesh le kaskeses, even though it doesn't have a snap. Okay, forget about it. Start again. So the Mishnah said, koshi yesh le kaskeses, yesh le snapper. As long as it has kaskeses, it has snapper also. You don't even have to think about it, you don't have to look, I don't have to check. I saw the kaskeses. I know for sure it has kaskeses. It's kushin. V'yesh yesh le snapper. If it only has fins and it doesn't have kaskeses, no good. Like the Mishnah finishes off. Yesh le kaskeses, v'yesh le snapper. It has both. Tur. If it has only snapper and no kaskeses, it's tamei. So what do I see from this? Mech de kaskeses kosamchina. The ikr is kaskeses. If it's kaskeses, it's kushin. No kaskeses, it's tamei. It's just we're wasting time. Let the Torah say that any fish that has like kaskeses is kosher. Says Yimar, ikos rachman kaskeses likos snapir would only say kaskeses. Hamamina my kaskeses snapir. I would say that the touch, the definition of the word kaskeses is fins, not scales, but fins. And therefore, I feel a dog to me. Because there's so many dogim to meim that have snapirs. Even though they don't have any scale, I would say that's what kaskeses means. It means fins, hotzacha fin. That's why it has to say both snapper and kaskeses. And therefore, I know that it doesn't both mean fins. One is a fin, maskit, but the other's got to mean something else. Ah, so the other one means kaskeses, that it has scales. So that's why you have to have both words to eliminate the possibility that people would think that kaskeses does mean fins. Nein, kaskeses means scale. How do I know? Says snapper and kaskeses. Now that Itaka says snapper kaskeses, Baruch Hashem. Now when I'm learning in Chayde, snapper means X and kaskeses means Y. Which one is the fins and which one is the scales? How do I know that the kaskeses, that's the levush, the outside scales? Maybe the snapper are the scales and maybe the kaskeses are the fins. So tomorrow the chsiv, ashtay techem pusik. Pusik is talking about Goliath of the Plishtim, and it says that he wore the shiryon kaskasim who lovish. He was wearing a shield, or the same means like a coat of armor, like the military used to wear years ago, that they had such a coat of armor made out of iron, steel, tin, whatever it was. So that's the shiryon kaskasim, that it has all those different chalukim. If you've ever seen in a museum the coats of armor, they're made out of like 100 different little sections. And the shin kaskasim ulavish. Ah, so I see clearly that kaskasim means scaled, it doesn't mean fins. Now that I know that, so I go back to my original question. Now that you told him from Goliath.
I know it because of the Torah says both.
No. He's saying now, how do I know to touch the word kaskasim to mean scaled? Maybe kaskasim means fin. That's a chad chapusik by Goliath. By Goliath, it doesn't say both; it just says kaskasim.
Yeah, but it's after. You only know it from the Torah. That's why.
What do you mean? Only know from the Torah?
The Torah says it's not from kaskasim, so it comes out kaskasim is a scales. So we touch by Goliath, it's scales.
From the Torah,
they
tell Goliath, yeah.
Yeah. How do you know to touch that?
That's
you called it only because the Torah knew it's not from kaskasim. It says both kaskasim and scales.
That's
how Goliath
knew. That's
why
we write
Kaskeses by Goliath. Why does it say Vishiryoin Snapir Hulovish? Why does it say Shirin Kaskas? It's a chasimin. That's the definition. That's the definition of the word Kaskas.
It's armor.
It's armor. Exactly.
But we don't know if Kaskeses in the Torah. We teach it over there.
What then would you touch it there? If the Torah,
then they wouldn't have used that word.
Fine.
They wouldn't have used Goliath that word.
Okay, anyway, as we break the Gemara, Vishim, Kaskasim, Ulovish, I see Lechoira that the Taicha, the word Kaskasim, means scales, pieces of armor. So therefore, it makes sense to say, when you have Snapir Kaskasim, Kaskasim means armor. So that being the case, why do I need the whole word snap there by into the fish? Let it just simply say kaskeses. and now we're going to go and scratch our foreheads and say, what means kaskasis? Does it mean fins or does it mean scales? So I looked through the whole Tanakh. Oh, I found a pasuk in Shmuel. Vishtait Mishmiel, it's state of Vishin Kaskas. So I see clearly it means scales. So why do I need now this snap before? Let it just say kaskasis. And Vini Mabitha Rahman Katsubalik snap it. I'm Rabbah, can Rabbi Shmuel. Yadu Toyra Vyadir. Einachanami was totally unnecessary, but this gave us an opportunity to learn another 2 minutes. Because if it would only say kaskasis, then I would learn it for the kaskasin, we could have gone home 2 minutes ago, or at least we could have continued on to Rabbana. So therefore, to give an opportunity to then and learn and to kochen and to ask, what does kaskasis mean? Kaskasim and snapper? Ah, kishmaka toide, says Gibal. Okay, right. Sorry, Nahul? Why is it a dangerous answer?
Yeah, extra words here. Why did the Torah say this? Why every time you get the last two blocks? Any place in Shas, you have an extra word. You say, yeah, I can tell
you. Yeah. So usually, this is what we call the court of last resort. Normally, you go and say anything that Alfa to Torah to Kishrim. That was it. You have an other Gemara, also where the Gemara says, in Achanami, Dibre Torah Koloshim Neyadam. Then say that by every single drush of Dibre Torah Lashon. When it says, Minoy Mineo, don't learn from that. Don't learn Roisha Urech, Mit Kabachas, Mit Zunav. Just because that's right at the Torah, you know, the family of fish, the family of Chagov. You can say that about everything. So usually this type of Yagl Torah V'yadeh, or Dibre Torah Koshim Neyodim, that's kind of, if I have no other, it doesn't mean that there is no other drasha. Mietz Hashem, Tish B'yataritz, and Moshe Rabbein, and Ofshtel, Mietz Hashem, Balzah, Mashiach, Medfregen, Yor, Sedu. I saw the choices, but Mephoshim, Fregen, what does choices mean? Harbi Omer Lonu Tamim, Lay the Malkas Kesu, or Hirba Omer Lonu.
Hello?
Fine. Yes. Everything okay?
Yes, speaking of fine, you said fine, so let me say something.
Yes, please, okay. Mr. Fine. Yes, surely fine.
You know that not every fish with fins has scales.
It's right.
I can give you some examples.
But the Gemara already gave us examples.
Catfish.
Yes, yes.
Eels.
Yes.
Some sharks.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But, so the question is, if they have scales, must they have fins? But if they have fins, they don't necessarily have scales.
Right. What you're doing is you're repeating the braisa perfectly word for word. The braisa said, or the Mishnah said at the top, if it has kaskasas, you know for sure it has fins. But if it has fins, very possibly it does not have scales. After all, every fish has to be able to swim in the water. So they all have to have a minimum of fins. But many of them do not have scales. Okay, look at what he has. Turn it around. So now the Gemara is bothered by, not bothered, but the Gemara asks, what do we need two separate psukim? Now what are the two separate psukim? If you had the Torah Ora Shalem, these are two psukim back to back in Parsha Shmini. The following you are allowed to eat. If it has fins and scales, you're allowed to eat it. And then the next pasuk says the reverse. If it doesn't have those snabrikaskeses, then you're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to. So the question is, what do I need two separate psukim? Was it this? I skip four lines? I don't see how we missed it. We're going to see. Tanuban. So now the Gemara asks, from the first pusik. The first pusik says, "Azeh toichlim kol asher b'moyim." The following you're allowed to eat. Kol eshelo yisnav v'kaskas. So Gemara, mimashu shenemar achoil. Since the pusik says achoil, you're allowed to eat with snapper v'kaskas, says, as sheyeshloi, you're allowed to eat those fish that have these two characteristics, snapper kaskeses. Shemei anis, therefore, I understand on my own, without the next pasuk, al toichel sheyeshloi. If the Torah says, Torah is not just telling us stories just to give us, you know, a good story hour, it's telling us that's the halacha. If it has snapper kaskeses, you can eat it. So if I ask any child, since the Torah says you can eat it if it has snapper kaskeses, what happens if it doesn't have snapper kaskeses? Then you're not allowed to eat it. So that's a double pusik. So I'm bezoi umimashu shenem, and now we have the second pusik that says that if it doesn't have snavikas keses al toichel es sheinloi shemeani achoy le sheyeshloi, that you're allowed to eat if it does have. So lomishon, and why did the Torah have to repeat it twice? One in the positive and one in the negative. Lab ulam biasei v'loises, to go and tell you that every time that you eat fish that choli lebachas does not have stam bekaskeses. Not only your oiver on the second pusik of the lav, for which of course if you have hasrua metaidim, you would go and get malchus, but you're even oiver on an asay. So you don't want to be oiver in both an esalois. Torah especially repeats it twice to tell you you're going to have two strikes against you. One strike of a loises and it's a malchus, the other one you're oiver asay. Good. That's pretty straightforward. Now we focus on the first pusik. The first pusik talks about toichlu and it repeats it twice. The pusik says, "Ezeh toichlu mikol asher b'moyim." The following you're allowed to toichlu, kol asher loy snav v'kaskesim b'mayim b'yam and cholam oisam toichelu. You're allowed to go and eat. Why do I need to repeat oisam toichelu? Chadashin gezukt. Ezeh toich mikol asher b'moyim. You're allowed to eat the following that are in the water. Kol asher loy snav v'kaskesim b'mayim b'yam and cholam. Period. That's what you're allowed to eat. No, in case you forgot what I was talking about, oisim techeil, you're allowed to eat them. Chaduch shen yizuk, ezeh toichli. That's what's bothering the Gemara. Now, toichli mikol ha-shebomoy, ma tam aloyma. Why does the Torah have to repeat it twice, the first time and at the end of the pasuk? Shiyachol hoyu v'hiter b'mefurash, v'hiter b'stam, ma kishihiter b'mefurash, lehiter ele b'kailim, af kishihiter b'stam, lehiter ele b'kailim. What is this all about? So, Rashi explains it in great detail. As we'll see going through the Gemara further, we're now talking about Sheretz Hamayim. Why am I talking about Sheretz Hamayim? Because the second Pusik Taka says, V'chol asher ein lo yisnaber kaskeses b'yam v'nachol mikoil Sheretz Hamayim. So these psukim are talking not only gabi fish, but also any type of aquatic reptile or bug or anything. What's the status, Taka, of the Sheretz Hamayim? You might not have understood that from the Psikim, but the Gemara is telling us what, to me, and I'm sure to some of you, is a Gevaldi Gechidish, that you're allowed to go and eat Sheretz Hamayim that has no fins and no scales. Rashi gives an example, for instance, of a Trela'as, of a worm that grows in the water. What about that? You're allowed to eat it. Really allowed to eat it? But only if it grows in Kalim, not if it grows in Yamim v'anacholim. Why? Because that's what the Pusik says. You know when we have this insistence on Snap of Kaskeses, by Yamim v'anacholim, there it's got to be Dafka mit fins and mit scale. Otherwise, Huli lebahas. Don't even have a minute to eat it. But what happens if it's not Yamim v'anacholim? I have in a basin, I have in my bathtub, I have in a container of water. I find there a tela'as. Your fish tank. Oh, Zayegit, thank you. Or in a fish tank. Thanks a lot for your very important comment.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. So if you find over there a tela'as, you're allowed to go and eat it. Based on two psikim, the Gemara doesn't identify those psikim yet, but one is a mefurash and one is a stam. Rashi says, tomorrow, Mi'at Hashem, we're going to identify which is the mefurash and which is the stam.
How did it get into the keli?
Our Gemara assumes that these types of bugs can grow on their own without outside forces.
Spontaneously.
It grows spontaneously. For instance, if you happen to have flour at home and you leave it there for 6 months and then you open it up, not only will it be Yushin flour, in all likelihood you're going to go and find some bugs and some worms. Or it's, how did you get there? I put up a big sign, no trespassing. They were born spontaneously inside. Now you can ask all of the scientists and they're going to say, anyway, if you want to get involved, if you want to get involved in that in greater detail, you have the art scroll with footnotes, you bring some Nechtveliyoi, mit Andra Achroinim. How can this be? Modern science that doesn't hold this way.
But the Gemara has a very short answer to this.
Vakasha.
When you open up the New York Times,
they do what they want because they're shellfish.
Yeah, they do what they want because they're shellfish. Shkoyach. Yes. Shelly, you are shellfish, Shelly, you're correct.
They're shellfish.
That's
how. If you open the New York Times, it says that it's sunrise and sunset.
Right.
The New York Times doesn't know the sun doesn't rise. The earth goes around the earth. The New York Times didn't know that the sun doesn't set. The earth turns. How can the New York Times make such a big mistake?
Oh,
Elamai, they use the word sunrise and sunset because it appears like the sun is rising and the sun is set. And we accept that this New York Times when they're talking about it.
I don't buy Times anymore. Of course of that.
Yeah. When I was about to the New York Times, the first page was something.
Okay.
So Balsky said that a lot of the things that Chalom Paskim, according to the way your eye sees it, they knew it doesn't do spontaneous. The Allah is about to look like spontaneous, so it doesn't look like spontaneous.
Okay, beautiful.
So you can give credit to the New York Times, understands the sun and the sunset. Give credit to Abdul. The Chalom also knew what they were talking about.
The Chalom of Adam knew what they were talking about. Did he think through that, or he gave that turret spontaneously? Okay.
I think it was
very thought out. Okay, beautiful. Beautiful.
Because no one questioned New York Times.
And Abad, no one would question Rabbi Belsky's Okay, anyway, getting back to our Gemara. Fine. So remember, we're trying to address the question, why does the word toichlu repeat it twice? The beginning of the pasuk is that toichlu? And then it says at the end, Oysom Teichem. Zok nochel in the Brisa. Toichlu mikol asher b'moy. Ma tam alaymer. Shteitoch oysom teichem. Shiyuchel. Hoyl behitter b'mufurish. Behitter b'stam. Since we have other psukim that are matir, such a teila'a, such a worm that grows supposedly spontaneously with inside the water, it never hit a yamim on a cholim. It grew within the fish tank, or it grew within the basin, whatever. Maybe the tree was only matter kalim, but period. Both in the mafurish pasik and in the stam pasik, which the Gemara is going to identify again tomorrow, which is mafurish, which is the stam. But the tree was only matter if these in these water bugs, water worms, only if they developed in kalim. What happens if you happen to be very thirsty and you see a bar in front of you, like those who were oile regel would go and drink from a bar, paying them in Sechta Shabbos and Erev and Yigad Kan to Shailas, how are you allowed to go and drink on Shabbos? You have to make Machmet and Erev, etc., etc. Anyway, the rabbis boyer shichan ma'orish. Shishoicha v'shoyis mehen. A person can go and bend down to the ground and start drinking. Maybe as he's drinking, he's going to feel something is up. It tastes good, and turns out that he's drinking such a water worm. How do I know? You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to go and take the water in a cup and go and examine it under a microscope. Even if you ate a cup of tilum, it's also good. Tamaloimar. That's the reason why the Torah repeats, as is there, to tell you that these type of water worms, not only if they're in Kalim, but even in Boydish Tichanim Orais, as long as they're not in Yamim Uvin Echolim. What's the difference between Yamim Echolim and Boydish Tichanim Orais? Because Yamim Echolim are moving waters, Mashenkin. These three are like ponds, they stay in one place, Sefortnisht. And I need the extra Eser Toichlu to tell you you're allowed to eat those water worms. Freit Timura, Heichad Hitter became, you tell me there was matter. I don't remember any pasuk that says you're allowed to eat water worms in Kalim. Yo, Tichsiv. Eser Toichlu Mikol Asher B'moyim. That's the same pasuk that we're talking about. And the pasuk continues on that if Snapper V'Kaskeses, B'mayim B'yamim Unavacholim, Oysam Techelim. B'yamim Unavacholim, who the Chi Isle Achol? To Lesle Loitechel. Where did the Torah emphasize? It's got to have snapper, because kaskeses, it has to have fins and scales. B'yam v'necholim. Ha b'kelim, if it's not yam v'necholim. Avagav to Lesle Achol. Even if it doesn't have any fins, it doesn't have any scales. It's a lousy worm. You're allowed to go and eat it. Frank Tamar, okay, I understand where you're coming from, but maybe we should learn the drasha punk faket. Maybe we should learn Ema b'kelim afagav the Isle Loitechel. Maybe what the Torah is telling us is, if it has snapper, if it has kases, you're allowed to eat it. But what happens if you have the same snapper, if it has kases, you have salmon fish, which is swimming beautifully inside kalim, maybe that's what the Torah is saying, that you're not allowed to eat. Even though it has both simonim, the snapper, if it has kases, you're only allowed to eat snapper, if it has kases, but yam v'necholim. But you cannot go and eat it in kalim. So those who are turning the drosha punk fakert, not that the kalim is coming to be marbe, those types of aquatic creatures that don't have snapper kaskeses, but maybe it's coming to isolate and to exclude. When you're eating anything from kalim, you're out of your kalim in eating any type of such fish, even if it has 20 snappers and 100 kaskeses. Maybe it's also only yam necholim is it mutter. That's not even a half a minute. So now we go to the second pasuk. Then sheket same lechem. What is this price? What is this pusik telling us? To less lay loy teichel. If it doesn't have kol asher ein loy snap v'kaskeses, the less lay loy teichel. Oh, habekelim. Avagav the less lay achol. It's only because it's bayama v'anacholim. Don't eat kol asher ein loy. No red light. Don't eat if it doesn't have snap v'kaskeses. But where? Bayama v'anacholim. But anywhere else, the kalim, you're allowed to go and eat. Kalim, avagav the lesle, achoy. Fine. So bottom line is, what have we accomplished? We've now accomplished, why does the Torah add the eszet toichlu in that pasuk where it says at the end, oisem techelu, to tell you that the word kalim is lav davka. It means anything which is not a flowing brook, river, yam, even the boider shichin maris. Frekti mara. The aim of, maybe I should go and make a klal uprat uklal. The aim of b'mayim, not a plat klal, no, a klal uprat. The aim of b'mayim klal. The yam v'necholim prat. Klal uprat, aim v'chalim asher befrat. Yam v'necholim in. Ne'itzim v'charitzim loy. What does the Gemara mean? In this pasuk again, we have, ezetoichul mikol asher b'moyim. Moyim means any type of mayim. And then it says, kol asher loy, snapper v'kas kesef b'mayim b'yam v'necholim. Only yam and acholim. Oh, so I have a klal, any mayim, and then I have the yam and acholim, which means only yam and acholim. So maybe I should go and exclude klal uprat, ein b'chal mashe befrat, yam and acholim in, ne'itzin v'charitzin loy, but not ne'itzin v'charitzin. The one in ne'itzin v'charitzin, Rashi over here is totally silent. For some strange reason, Rashi is mafarish tomorrow's daf. If you look on Samach Zayin Omer Aleph, go down about a third of the Omer, you see you have Rashi, Charitzin, Aruchin Uktsarim. These are like tributaries, or like the Amasamayim canals that you have that are what? They are long, Uktsarim, and they're narrow. Long and narrow.
Connected, or they just stand alone?
Presumably are connected to something, otherwise there wouldn't be any water there. These are Charitzin, usually are connected to a river.
Bar
is not connected, correct. That's just from...
These are something in between the bar and the necholim.
Very good, very good. And the itzim, sukrashi, is rechovim. Those already are wider. Going oisim shoisim the divrei dogim. If you are raising schools of fish, so they have this nice neitzim, which are a bit wider than the charitzim. Ah, so therefore, going back to Agimara, so the Gemara, maybe I should go and learn klal uprat. Ein bechal mashir befrat yam necholim in neitzim charitzim loy. That's how we should darsh in the pasuk. And Madach, I'm saying, Nitzim v'charitzin loy, kolshkein boi rois. That what? That if you have fish that do not have fins and scales, bayam menecholim, you're not allowed to eat it. Nitzim v'charitzin, kemiyo, and zichr v'gabi the boiters. And if now I'm learning kolshkein boi rois, so what do I need the ezet toichel mikol asher b'moyim? We said the ezet toichel comes to include not only kelim, but also the boiters yichem orois. I don't need the ezet toichel. I can learn it from the fact that I have a klal uprat. Only yam and cholim. Anything else, these halachas don't apply. It doesn't apply to nitzvah charitzin. It doesn't apply to baruch shichan maris. It doesn't apply to kelim. So, what do I need the ezeich? Avdi mar, no. It's ve'emes and not a klal uprat. It's a klal uprat uklal. B'mayim chozar v'kolal. Where do I have that extra b'mayim? Going back to the pusik again. That's the first b'mayim. That's the klal. Kol asher loy snaber kaskeses b'mayim b'yamim v'necholim. What do I need that second b'mayim for? Could have said kol asher loy snaber kaskeses b'yamim v'necholim. What's out of order?
Klal uprat klal.
Oh, so Rabbi Yanke, frektuch zeh good. You're telling me there's a klal uprat klal by the fact that the b'mayim is repeated. Guess what? It's really not a klal uprat klal. It's really a klal uprat. Because we start off as Zetoy Mekol Asher B'moyim is one klal. And then it says, Snav Kaskes is B'moyim, second klal. B'yam L'Necholim is a prat. So Freitach Rebbe Yankiv, I don't understand what you're saying. How can you go make a klal uprat a klal when it's really a klal uprat? I'm Ravina, can I be my rov like this? And there it says, oh, anytime you find such an interesting configuration of the psukim that you have two klalis together, klalis with a chot, that you have two clouds, what's the din? Hatul prat beineyem, go and take the prat, which is the yamum vanacholim, and put him in, sandwich it in between the two bamayims, between the two klalim, v'doinim b'chlal ube prat, I'm sorry, v'doinim b'chlal u prat u klal, bamayim is klal, that's just fadish, b'yam vanacholim is prat, and that second bamayim, we're going to move it over to post yam vanacholim, you have now a klal u prat a klal, chos v'kolol. Klalu prat klal, yet the donu kena prat, ma prat mafurish mayim noivim, it's flowing water, afkol mayim noivim, anything which is flowing, and therefore there the Torah requires that you have to have, snap vikas kases. Now my Rabbi, whenever you have a klalu prat klal, you have to go in marbe domi leprat, so what's domi leprat mayim noivim? Oh, like Rebbe Herzi said before, charitzin eitzim leisura, because those are also mayim noivim, on a smaller scale. It's not a huge Atlantic Ocean. It's Nishka Yam. It's a Nishka Hudson River. Abba Sefard. Sefur Tuch Nevasa. So therefore I learned it from my Noiv. But it has to have fins and scales there too. So my Miet, since we're having a cloud, the Prat to cloud, it's got to be Doimit to the Prat. So what is not Doimit to the Prat with this halacha of fins and scales doesn't apply? My Miet, Baruch Yechon Ma'aris. Lehet Teira, that those are Mutalach, you do not need the fins and scales over there. There could even be such a water worm that has no fins, no scales. You can eat it. The Eima. Sorry, Nachum.
Only was the Bashafan there by itself.
Not that it didn't come originally from Yam Lechol. It presumably came from somewhere, but like Rabelsky said, it appears to us that it was spontaneously. We give it the halach of spontaneously.
Was it was born there. Like,
it was born and created there.
Took the mother from the yam and it was born there.
What you're saying is if it was someplace else and you brought it in here, it would still remain Aser. It doesn't become a tire it once.
Right. It's just not like a mikveh that you took out of the yam and the cholim, you put into the kelim. Oh, now it's tour. No, it's got to be created there by the Heilige B'Shefer. Frank Dimar ve'ema ma'prat mefurish ma'im gedelem agabe karka af kol ma'im gedelem agabe karka. You just touched the words of the klal uprat the klal kena prat, the what's kena prat's got to be mayim noivim. Lav dafka, maybe it means yam and acholim, just like yam and acholim are on the surface, they're not subterranean underneath the surface, you don't have to dig to go and bring up that water, they're on the surface, mzeitach the vasa. So maybe I've called mayim agdil magabri karka. Umay rabin therefore comes to include, boy reshichanim ores li'isura, and that you're not allowed to eat such water worms, even though these are not mayim noivim. I don't need mayim noivim. The Torah says, the halacha of yam and cholim, because they gedel magabe karka. The boris yichon maris are also a godel agabe karka. I see the boris yichon maris. I don't have to go and dig down 10 miles to find it. So now, what's the meat? My meat, and meat is kailin. So ibazoi, maybe that's the right pshat in the pasuk. And therefore, how did you go and learn before? That just like by kailin, you don't need snap of the kaskeses. By boris yichon maris, you also don't need snap of the kaskeses. Actually, you do need snavakaskes the boyer sichan maris because they're doimet to the yamim in a cholim in that they're all gedel magabe karka. Says Yimara, al pisvara logically you're making a lot of sense. But in kain toichlu mamayahanile, why did I have that toichlu at the beginning of the pasuk? That was what was bothering the Gemara. The first pasuk says is that toichlu mikol asher b'moyim, and then it finishes off snavakaskes oisam toichelu. I don't have to repeat twice. The following you're allowed to go and eat. If it has fins and scales, you're allowed to eat it. I already said you're allowed to eat it. Just say, fins and scales, done. Why do you have to repeat the toichlu? That comes to tell you that it's not only the gamin and the cholim, but the same halacha applies to the baris yichon mar. But now you're telling me that I could learn it from this klal uprat to klal. If you're going to learn it from prat to klal, then what do you need the asoich toichlu for? That's why you need to tell us that we do not learn that the prat is coming to be marbe, kol ha-godl agabe karka, but rather it's coming to include the mayim ha-noivim. And therefore we're excluding the baris yichon maris from this din of the din of snapper the kaskesis. So just like you're allowed to eat the water worms that were created and were born inside a keli. You're allowed to go and eat also if it was born and created inside Boyd Sikhan Ma'arois. We'll stop over here and have a wonderful day.
So the toys from the Pasuk,
gentlemen on the phone, Mietch will continue tomorrow, Mietch Hashem around 7:45 on regular Zoom. Hatzlocha Zagi Bench, thank you for joining. Kolta, be well, Rebbe. You too. Yeah, Rebbe Yankee.